welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Indiana, which has a history of innovation, going back all the way to the early car makers that located here, is getting a reputation once again as a fertile ground for entrepreneurs. In some of the latest news, Indianapolis was ranked the fourth best city for women in technology by a group called Smart Asset. Indiana was just behind Washington, D.C., Kansas City, and Baltimore. And Governing Magazine did a story last month suggesting that Indianapolis is becoming regarded as the Silicon Valley of the Midwest, Governing Magazine. Indy has added thousands of new tech jobs, and its digital service sector has nearly doubled in size since 2010. Among the bright spots, the company Salesforce says it plans to bring more than 800 high-paying jobs to the city. On a smaller scale, communities across the state are trying to encourage their own entrepreneurs and startups, sometimes by helping sponsor co-working spaces where they can set up shop at low cost and even collaborate. Think of these as shared office spaces for companies just starting out or people who would otherwise be working from a coffee shop or from home. One of these co-working spaces is the Refinery Business Center in Marion, and Shelby Bowen is a founding partner. We met him at Launch Fishers, a co-working space in that city that started 3 years ago in a library basement and is in a new space now with 50,000 square feet and 600 members.
Co-working kind of evolved from people that were in their garages, their basements, their Starbucks, their cars, and really it's kind of hard to get to the next level of entrepreneurship. And so first of all, there's the physical space. So is it easy to work from a Starbucks or try to find a professional environment? The second part to that, I think, is collaborating. It's great to meet other entrepreneurs and have ideas and try to work together. So I think it evolved from that, creating a physical place for people to try to start and grow business, and then the environment of other entrepreneurs.
Can you describe what we see when we walk in here?
Well, I mean, the energy, so that's hard to describe unless you're here. But what I think, first and foremost, every co-working space should have is it's really an office. It's a professional office setting. So people who need a professional place to work that is affordable. So that's the number one obstacle. If you think about entrepreneurship and trying to go out and find an office, it can be intimidating, it can be expensive, and those are all obstacles to try to focus on your business. So I think co-working spaces just eliminate a lot of the obstacles to real estate. The second part is just trying to establish maybe credibility with potential clients, potential employees. If you're meeting a client at the Starbucks, you know, or if you're interviewing somebody and you don't have a place to meet them and they can't envision, you know, how the business grows, I think those two things. And then, you know, the other part was meeting other people who are in entrepreneurship. You sit down with somebody and they have an idea and you have an idea, or you're having a tough day and they say, hey, you know, yeah, hang in there. What you're doing is awesome. I think that's a big part of it.
Do you ever see collaborations form?
Oh, all the time, because what Fishers really keyed on to early is even if entrepreneurs come in and try and fail, they keep going, or they try something different, or they meet other entrepreneurs and something takes off. And so I would say, even as simple as sharing resources. So you're a web designer and I'm a marketing person. You know, you and I together maybe can get some traction for each of our companies, or we maybe go in together and now we've got, you know, a web design and marketing firm, and it just happens daily, really does.
Can you think of a story where you saw that sort of connection made and, you know, somebody said, oh, marketing, well, you need my friend Shelby over here or something?
Oh, yeah. So, and I also know even the municipalities, so they see resources here too. And I think there are several companies out of Launch Fishers who have provided services, whether it's web design or building an app. I can tell you that Fishers has several apps, their police department, the administration, just simple little things like that. In Grant County, it's the same way. There's a consulting. There's a cleaning company there that has done very well, Dawn's Cleaning Solutions. And she's been able to connect with marketing resources and, you know, meet clients and add cleaning employees. It's just been great for her.
This is really an amazing space.
Well, this is kind of the epicenter of co-working across the state of Indiana. This is, I think, really where it all started in earnest, the movement. John Wexler's the director. He and Mayor Fadness had a vision for that need we just talked about. How can we support entrepreneurship? A lot of that stemmed from, you know, what's the economy doing? Manufacturing's, you know, you're seeing these jobs go away. So how do you, in a community, kind of create economic development instead of going to try to attract it and you're just displacing jobs? How can you create it? And here, clearly, they started in the basement of a library and now, you know, 50,000 square feet, 600 members.
Can you give us an idea of the timeline? When did we start seeing this and how long ago did this place start?
Well, what's kind of coincidental about Launch Fishers is, you know, it's a startup. It's very new. It's 2012. So, you know, not that long ago when they opened their doors in the basement of the library, and now, you know, has evolved into just an extraordinary movement, not just here in Fishers, but has spawned co-working across the state of Indiana. The very first member is a young man named Santiago Jaramillo, and he joins Launch Fishers in the basement of the library, and he has an idea to develop a company to create apps. And so he does that and sees some early success and then starts to see potential. Well, what's great about that is the resources that are evident in a co-working space when you start thinking about meeting other talented entrepreneurs, connecting with municipal officials and access to funding. Now, Santiago was Blue Bridge Digital. They were bought out. Now they're Implify, and he has about 30 employees, and they are here right across the street. And so he has evolved and stayed in Fishers, went from a laptop at the co-working space to 30-plus employees, multi-million dollar company. That's just one story.
Shelby Bowen, co-founder of the Refinery Business Center in Marion, a co-working space for entrepreneurs, small businesses, and startups. He was inspired by what's going on at Launch Fishers and credits entrepreneur John Wexler, who founded Launch Fishers. He also credits the 1150 Coding Academy and others for helping lay the groundwork for these centers around the state. Oh, by the way, the music you're hearing in this show comes with a bit of entrepreneurial flavor. These selections are from an Indianapolis-based nonprofit group called Musical Family Tree, which promotes Indiana music and artists. Producer Sean Ashcraft had the idea, as long as we're celebrating local enterprise and entrepreneurship, we could do that with our musical selections too. Hope you enjoy these. If you want more information about them, see the show's webpage at indianapublicradio.org.
Indiana Weekend, interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Is there a direct connection between Launch Fishers and these other collabs?
Yeah, there sure is. So first of all, what's kind of interesting, I'm from Marion, Indiana, and I used to work for the city of Fishers, and I spent some time in Launch Fishers, and I'm seeing Indiana Wesleyan students and faculty. And I talked to the director. I say, hey, you know, Indiana Wesleyan, this is in Marion, and I'm seeing these folks in Fishers. What if we tried to do something in Grant County? And of course, John Wexler, who wants to see entrepreneurship promoted across the state, said, yeah, let's try that. Let's do that. And not just Marion. I mean, Richmond, Kokomo, Muncie, Terre Haute, go on and on and on. Now there are, I think, 35 co-working spaces that are a part of a membership network called Indiana Co-working Passport, and really, in my opinion, all created from what started here in Fishers.
This can mean a lot for a community. We're getting away from the idea necessarily of chasing smokestacks
right.
to maybe an organic growth of businesses.
Yeah, that's a great point, chasing smokestacks, the traditional economic development. And it's not that that has to stop. This is just another tool for another way to create economic development in communities, especially, in my opinion, especially in communities who have suffered those losses. They need resources. And one of the things that John Wexler and I talked about early on is we thought, you know, innovation and entrepreneurship is not geographical. Those folks are everywhere, but resources are. And so our idea is, how do we promote resources, you know, statewide? And for me, my passion to see Marion, who has suffered, economically, what can I do kind of on a local level to get some small victories?
Tell us a little bit about Marion.
Sure. Marion's small town, 30,000 people. It's one of, if you think about kind of the Rust Belt traditional small Indiana town that was based in manufacturing and factories. You know, I grew up, aunts and uncles, everybody worked in the factory or worked for a service that provided services to those folks. And then as the economy changed, Marion started to suffer some setbacks and maybe lose its identity to a certain degree. And now, I think, though, the focus is on, hey, how can we start to rebuild? How can the next generation of workforce, what's that look like? For instance, what I think is awesome, and I think every community should be looking at, is a coding academy. Teaching coding, 1150 is just fantastic in their community outreach program. So we and Marion at the refinery hosted a coding week, and we had about 150 people, in Grant County. You don't really associate coding and programming and developing with kind of the blue collar, but those people are out there and they have a desire to learn, and they have a desire to learn skill sets that are gonna lead to employment, I think. Because not everybody goes to college, and I think it's a tougher challenge in communities like Marion for kids to envision that path. So providing them alternative paths, I think, is just huge.
We're getting set up to visit the stamping plant. GM is going to have us go through that. And also the Gartlands are having us over to Atlas.
Yeah.
One strength that Marion has is that even though there's been departure of many jobs, you still have a couple.
Oh, yeah, they're great. And Tim Eckerly in the Grant County Economic Growth Council, I mean, he's as good as anybody in the state at working with those companies, because that's such a huge piece. So it's not that you shouldn't still focus on that core. I mean, that's a major piece. But I think you add other resources because you want to create some economic growth, some organic growth, people who stay in your community, because you mentioned it's hard to chase the smokestacks because everybody's doing that. But Tim, Atlas, GM, what I think is really interesting is, the shift towards automation. So even that workforce is changing. And, we want to make sure that the folks in Grant County and across the state are primed to keep up with that.
Sometimes what we hear is that co-working spaces are an asset because they make the community more attractive to creative folks and entrepreneurs.
Yeah, well, so if you think about Indiana Wesleyan, especially 3,000 students there and faculty, what I have learned is it's not just students at Indiana Wesleyan who are innovative, and clearly you have a lot of smart faculty members who maybe have ideas. And when I look at Marion and you have 1,200 or so students graduating from Indiana Wesleyan every year, and how great would it be to provide opportunities for them to stay in Marion? And that means you have to have a place. So Santiago, we talked about Implify, he's an Indiana Wesleyan graduate and comes to Fishers, joins a co-working space. And who's to say you can dream big and think the next Santiago stays in Marion because you've got a place for him to get started while he's in school. There are several students who work at the refinery on their ideas.
I think some people might be surprised at the number of sort of homegrown tech companies that are emerging in Indiana. And somebody just did a story about Indianapolis being, an emerging tech center.
Yeah, and I know, and I think that's important. I know that John Wexler and John McDonald, he's the CEO of Cloud One, and these guys have been spending time down at the State House saying, hey, we need to be supporting funding for this tech movement and skilled labor movement.
Sounds like you and others are also looking at education as a component, working with not just entrepreneurs who are, but children, helping them a leg up.
Yeah, that was, honestly, when we applied for our grant for the refinery through the Community Foundation, and they were funded through a Lilly grant, and when we went to them, one of the key kind of areas of focus for us was children. Grant County has one of the highest poverty rates in the state, and so just to me, thinking how can we inspire and provide resources and paths of inspiration to children, I think that, and changing the mindset you know, because I think the economy's changing, culture is certainly changing, and so we want to be keeping up with that. And they shouldn't have to come to Indianapolis to find that. That was kind of our goal, is let's go to them.
Shelby Bowen, a co-founder of the Refinery Business Center in Marion. It's a city that has seen its share of hard times, but is encouraging local startups and entrepreneurs through this co-working space, which serves as a combination office space, meeting center, and business incubator.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
If a city or a community was looking and said, boy, that would be great, we should do that, what are some of the things that you've learned? What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, so, you know, it's always key to have a few people locally who are going to take a hold of the initiative, who are passionate about the things you and I are talking about. John Wexler and his team, and 1150 and their team, and some of these state resources who are great, Jason Whitney with Launch Indiana, they will come and they will try to help you understand. But at the end of the day, it's got to be somebody carrying the torch locally. So I would say identify a couple of people. And then what's always great, maybe it's the same people, but entrepreneurs who potentially could help you find a facility or a municipality who has space. For instance, you know, the libraries are good places to work, or city halls, or somewhere that you can provide a professional workspace. Because you and I both know at the end of the day, if it's not comfortable or convenient, and if your Wi-Fi is bad, and, you know, people aren't going to stick around. So, you know, good leadership and a good space, I think, are kind of the two most important things.
Yeah, I guess the most recent one we went to was Elkhart, where the Chamber has provided some space.
Yeah, chambers, the growth councils, both locally and the county. Tim Eckerly and his group have supported our initiatives, and we've partnered with them. They've been doing entrepreneurship initiatives for 30 years in small business, but it's hard for them, you know, to be there on a consistent basis because they have such a broad network. So we were able to provide a platform that was a more consistent facility for folks. But, you know, we're one and the same, collaborating with nonprofits, just anybody and everybody. You know, I always preach the cities and county economic development folks would love to find somebody who wants to promote this. So it's just a matter of getting out there and bringing those resources together.
We were talking with Shelby Bowen at Launch Fishers, and on that day, the 1150 Coding Academy was holding graduation for a class that had just finished training.
So awesome. So 1150, it's all levels of coding. So when we had a coding week, you know, we had kindergartners and seniors, and sometimes they're sitting next to each other performing the same programs, or there's different levels. But what 1150 does great is they are out in front of the changing workforce, saying, hey, you don't have to go to college to learn a great skill and get a great job. And there is a large segment of the population who can't afford college or could be burdened with debt. It's just not for everybody. And 1150 also is saying, hey, we see a need for these skills. We know these jobs are here, so let's cultivate these folks and integrate the two so it's seamless, and there's just nobody better. So if you think about someone who is interested in coding, they bring them in, teach them real skills that they certify, and then connect them with employers. I mean, and it's like a 12-week program, and it's affordable, so just an awesome opportunity for folks who see a path there.
1150 is a natural partner with co-working spaces because those places are a good fit for a coding academy.
And so they are in communities saying, hey, how can we establish programs here? And so for us in the refinery, it was as easy as just bringing their team in, sitting down with stakeholders, school systems, nonprofits, city administration, economic development folks, Ivy Tech, and, you know, connecting all those resources and then saying, hey, let's pick a week and let's do this thing.
Were you ever discouraged as you saw what happened to Marion?
I mean, oh yeah, you know, of course, not just Marion, any setback. It resonates with me having grown up in Marion, so if you see it in, you know, any other community, you go, gosh, you know, that stinks. But to me, it just kind of reinforces that we have to look at resources and economic development in other ways, in addition to the things that the traditional folks are doing. I just think it's a necessary component of the big picture of how do we keep folks here and provide resources for people to succeed.
This feels like a better time for entrepreneurs than 30 years ago.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that you touched on is collaboration. So when you have a facility where folks can come and meet other entrepreneurs, the other thing I see that's pretty unique about co-working spaces and what Launch Indiana and Launch Fishers are doing is lunch and learn. So just something as simple as being able to go to one of those facilities and learn how to succeed, whether it's a marketing seminar or a coding seminar or how to form your LLC from a legal perspective or who do I ask for insurance. Just simple things that piece by piece might help you grow your business and establish it. So I think it's just this access to resources in a professional work setting, and then you get to meet so many cool people who are trying to accomplish the same thing.
San Francisco's gonna love you. You might be all right if you can just get a ride out of Indianapolis tonight.
Shelby Bowen, Vice President of Development for Envoy, Inc., a construction management company based in Indianapolis. He's also co-founder of the Marion Business Center, a co-working space in his hometown. Bowen was inspired by what he saw at Launch Fishers, a 50,000-square-foot co-working space with 600 members. He wanted Marion to have something for its entrepreneurs. Other communities, including Anderson, Elkhart, Richmond, Kokomo, and Fishers, have these co-working spaces, many others. They're giving hope to the people who want to see Indiana communities grow new companies from the ground up in a networked world where people with ideas don't have to be in the big cities to be innovators. The thinking is that good ideas can emerge anywhere, so why not here? And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, Debbie Webb, Alicia Franklin, and Elena McKenzie. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.